In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O God, Lord, who could stand?
But for you there is forgiveness, therefore you are here.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism has declared us to be his children and gathered us into his one holy church, in which we daily and richly are forgiven of all our sins, and he grants us new life through the Spirit. Be in our midst, O Lord, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Hear this, all peoples. Give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. Truly, no one can ransom another or give to God the price of his life, for the ransom of their life is costly and can never suffice. This is the path of those who have foolish confidence, yet after them people approve of their boasts. Like sheep, they are appointed for Sheol. Death shall be their shepherd. But God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Hear this, all peoples. Give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord, grant us wisdom to recognize the treasures you have stored up for us in heaven, that we may never despair, but always rejoice and be thankful for the riches of your grace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the reading of the lessons. The Old Testament reading for today is written in the first and second chapters of the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon says, "Vanity of vanities," says the preacher, "vanity of vanities, all is vanity. I, the preacher, have been king over Israel in Jerusalem, and I applied my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and a striving after the wind. I hated all my toil in which I toil under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me, and who knows whether he will be wise or a fool. Yet he will be master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. So I turned about and gave my heart up to despair over all the toil of my labors under the sun, because sometimes a person who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave everything to be enjoyed by someone who did not toil for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. What has a man for all the toil and striving of heart with which he toils beneath the sun? For all his days are full of sorrow, and his work is a vexation. Even in the night his heart does not rest. This also is vanity. There is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God. For apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? For to the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, he has given the business of gathering and collecting, only to give to one who pleases God. This also is vanity and a striving after the wind." This is the word of the Lord. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news, who publish peace and bring news of salvation. Their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. The epistle lesson is written in St. Paul's third letter to the Colossians, beginning with verse 1. "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah verse and the reading of the Holy Gospel.
Oh,
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But Jesus said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So is the one who lays up for treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
We are baptized into Christ, and together we join in confessing our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he comes from heaven with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen."
Please be seated as we continue with Jesus' priceless treasure. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is the gospel lesson appointed for today. A little parable that Jesus told about a man who had a bumper crop and nowhere to put his produce. So he built big barns, but he didn't get a chance to use it. And Jesus talks about how foolish it is to live that way. Let us pray. O Lord our God, help us value the material things you have given us for their service to us and for others. Help us see them not as measures of our worth, but as signs of your love and mercy. Remind us that our value lies in the richness of your grace to us in Christ Jesus. Amen. Just reading one verse from the text, verse 15. Jesus said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." I guess you heard that that Mega Millions sweepstakes lottery was won Friday. 1.28 billion dollars. $1.28 billion. Can you imagine? Wow. That's paid out over 29 years. Yes. You could choose the cash value, and it would only be, I got it right here, $747.2 million. That's all. Now, can you imagine the winner? There is a winner. We don't know who it is.
One person
won all that in Illinois, in Chicago, actually. But Illinois is a state in which the winner doesn't have to divulge who he is. The public doesn't get to know unless he wants to, and most of them choose not to. So can you imagine that winner saying, "Wow, give me my cash right now." And they say, "Here it is, $747.2 million. And he says, "Is that all there is? You mean it doesn't get any better than that? I thought it was a $1.28 billion prize." Well, I can imagine that. Not happy with $747 million because they thought it should be more. Doesn't get any better than this. But I imagine probably more likely the person receiving that marvelous windfall would say, "$747 million, it doesn't get any better than this." You see how that phrase can go either way? I wonder how this farmer in Jesus' parable may have reacted when he saw that bumper crop and realized he didn't have enough barns to store it in. So he built bigger barns, stashed it away. Do you think he was thinking to himself, "Wow, this is a big crop, but what about the lean years to come? It doesn't get any better than this. I better save it." Or do you think he thought, "Wow, look at all this produce, all this crop. I'm going to build barns and save it because it doesn't get any better than this." I wonder which way he went. Well, Jesus doesn't explain that, does he? He doesn't go into that at all. But what Jesus says is, take care against all covetousness. Don't you get wrapped up in covetousness. Don't get to the point where you want more. Don't be saying, "It doesn't get any better than this. I need more." Take care against all covetousness. And it's a good thing that Jesus reminds us of that, because you see, our problem is We are prone to define ourselves by our possessions. We do that a lot. We think of who we are by what we've got. And when we do that, we're scrabbling around trying to get more. And we get more sometimes at the expense of those who are close to us. Sometimes we hurt other people's feelings because of the way we act in regard to getting stuff, getting things. We end up maybe fudging a little bit to take something away from somebody else. Sometimes it's just a matter of kind of pride. We look what I've got, and somebody else's feelings are hurt. When in our desire to gain things, defining ourselves by our own possessions, we end up hurting relationships with others. And that's one reason why Jesus says, take care against all covetousness, because you'll end up having stuff but no friends. You'll break and hurt relationships with other people because of the stuff that you're trying to accumulate. Don't define yourself by your possessions. Instead, we should do like Christ does. Christ defines you by his love for you, not by how much you have that he can claim because he has you as his in his relationship. But he defines you, he finds your worth, he values you by his love for you. And his love for you is great. And so, what we find in Jesus' value of us by his love for us is that he restores relationships. While we break relationships because of our covetousness, Jesus restores relationships because of his gift of love to us. And how does he do that? He does it today, just as he did it last Sunday, and the Sunday before, and as he will the Sunday to come, by giving us his own body and blood, which he shed and gave to restore our relationship to God. By his death on the cross, he removed the sin that stood between us and God, and he restored our relationship to him, which had been broken, you know, back in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned, and which we continued to break every time that we sinned. Now, Jesus, by his gift to us of his own body and blood on the cross of Calvary and given to us in the bread and the wine of the Holy Communion, restores us to a relationship with God. A close, good, warm, loving relationship. That's because of his love for us. He defines us by his love for us, and he restores our relationship with God. And that means that we now can use that same gift from him to restore relationships with other people. The people that we've trampled on to get possessions, the people that we've made feel insignificant and hurt because of the things we've said and done about our possessions, all of those relationships that we've broken, Jesus gives us the gift of sharing his love with them to restore those relationships with us. So take care against all covetousness. And he continues by saying, be careful what you treasure. All the things that are so important to you, the stuff in your life that you just can't throw away. Oh, yesterday I was, let me just go ahead and share a little aside here with you. This week, we're going up to my first congregation, Beth and I, and we're going to I'm going to renew the vows for the first couple I married 50 years ago. They wanted to do a renewal of vows. And I had done the same thing for them on their 25th anniversary. And now for the 50th. And so I thought, what am I going to say? Let's see, what did I say last time on the 25th? So I went back, I went back in my notes and I found the message that I had given them 25 years ago. That wasn't very long. 50 years ago I had to struggle for. 50 years ago I had to go back and find my desk calendar that Concordia Publishing House was kind to give us back then. They don't give it to us anymore. But anyway, I went back there and I looked and I found recorded the day before I was installed as pastor at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Herald, I had written in 7 o'clock wedding. They didn't give the theme of my message. That's what I wanted. I hadn't written even the couple's name. But I haven't thrown that book away. And when I was looking at that, I found a bunch of boxes of other stuff that I haven't thrown away. And I thought to myself, you know, I could just take this whole box and put it in the dump. And I said, no, I couldn't. No, I couldn't. I treasure it too much. Be careful what you treasure, Jesus said. Earthly treasure is not your own. That's what Solomon was talking about in the first lesson, wasn't he? He's saying, look at all this stuff I've toiled for all my life. Oh my, I've got all these treasures. But what's going to happen to them? When I die, they're going to go to somebody else. And I won't know whether that person's going to be wise about the way they use it or not. Yeah. So true. Earthly treasure is not your own. It goes to somebody else later. And here's the key. That earthly treasure has been given to you not just to let it sit in a box in your closet gathering dust, like mine is doing, but to use in service to other people. That's what God gives us treasure for, to use in service. All the treasure of the world is really here to help people, to help others, to make our world a better place for people to live in. Given to us to use in service, but we often fail to do that, don't we? I mean, sometimes we just sit there and admire it. Reminds me of the comic strips back when I was a kid of Scrooge McDuck. Remember Scrooge McDuck? Comic strip? He was the miser, the uncle, I guess, of the Donald Daffy, yeah, named Dewey or whatever their names are. I can't remember their names. He was the guy who gathered all the stuff, and he'd sit there amid all of his wealth and he'd just look at it and gloat. That's not what God has given us treasure for. He's given it to us to use in service to others, to help build up other people's lives. And that's part also of how Jesus gives us an opportunity to restore relationships, to use these treasures to build back relationships by making life better for people around us and for us, for the world. And if you need an example of that, just take a look at what God treasures. God treasures you beyond all thought and imagining. God places such a great value on you and your life and your relationships with other people. He places such a great value on us that He sent His only Son in the flesh to give His life on the cross of Calvary to forgive your sins and buy you for all eternity. So that it's not just this life that matters, but it's eternity with Him in heaven. That's how much God treasures you. He wants you with Him in the courts of heaven for eternity. That's God's treasure to us, His grace. His saying, not because of what you have done, not because of things that you have, not even because of friends that you've taken care of with the treasures I've given you, but because of my Son's blood on the cross of Calvary, I declare you holy and precious in my sight. Because of that grace, the gift of God, not earned by us, but given freely because of His love, that's God's greatest treasure for you. Truth is, it doesn't matter how much we have. What really counts is how much God loves us. In Christ, God has made us His possessions for eternal life. He's done away with our old values and given us new value. Told us, shown us through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ that we are worth more to Him than anything else in all creation. In Christ, our lives are filled with meaning as we give ourselves in service to others. It doesn't get any better than this. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. We continue with the prayer of the church. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For your word and spirit, that our hearts may be guarded against pride and arrogance, and may be wise to love rightly all that you have made, being used for your purpose and glory. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For your church, that you would give her honorable and noble men for the office of holy ministry, and gracious and devoted men and women commissioned for the teaching arts and works of charity within your church. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all husbands and wives, that they would live in fidelity to their vows and promises. For parents, as they teach their children to know and love the Lord. For single adults, that they may find fulfillment in their service to others. And for our lives together, that we may show the love of Christ one to another. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our nation and its leaders, that as kingdoms rise and fall and leaders are raised up and brought low by your will, we may recognize the vanity of all our plans and so be ready to rejoice and give thanks for your every good gift in the days that you give us under the sun. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the suffering, the dying, and the grieving, especially for those we include in our prayer list, for Annie Mae, Pastor Scott and Judy, for Sandra, Jan and Sheila, for Robert and Alfred and Jeff, for Cheryl, Zachariah and Megan, for Dean, Barbara, Scott, Bob, for Don and Donna, for Robert and Donna, and Minnie, and for all of those whom we name in our hearts before your throne of mercy. And also for those known only to you, O Lord, we pray that you would sustain them in the truth that their lives are even now hidden with Christ in God, and that when He appears, they will also appear with Him in glory. And for compassionate and skillful doctors and nurses, that suffering may be alleviated and minds and bodies returned to health, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That we would one day be delivered by the hand of Christ into the paradise He has won for us, and in thanksgiving with the peace and rest that you have given those that He has led out of the great tribulation, let us pray to the Lord. Answer all doubt and fear, O Lord, with confidence in your word and sacraments, that by these means of grace we may be kept in holiness and guarded from temptation and despair until the day when you bring all things to their perfect fulfillment and we are delivered to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We continue with hymn 851, Lord of Glory, you have bought us. We continue with the preface to the sacrament of holy baptism, of the altar. Yeah. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet, in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption that you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also after supper, he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Take and drink, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Mm-hmm. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace.
Amen. Amen.